Morning.
I thought we would do a musical meditation this morning. First of all, though, I would like to say how thrilled I am to be here. I've probably sung at, 300 Unity churches maybe in my lifetime. And I think it's very fitting that, honest to God, as God is my witness, my favorite all-time Unity minister sits right there. I know you know how lucky you are. It's also the first Unity church I've ever been to that had a swimming pool. Well, I was hanging out with my sweet friend Karen Drucker recently, and I was telling her my newest bit of pain. And it came because I had a rather big birthday recently. And the first time I picked up my People magazine that I've been reading forever, I noticed this page that I've read a million times before, but this is the first time I noticed. It's the feature that says, looking good at every age. And then they have the 20-year-olds looking good, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, and then it stops. Oh, that was blow number one. Blow number two came, I picked up something like a Good Housekeeping, I don't know, and it had an article, taking care of your skin at every age. And it told you how to take care of your 20-year-old skin, your 30-year-old skin, your 40-year-old skin, your 50-year-old skin, and then it stopped. And then blow number three, there I was, having been a self-employed person forever and paying a painfully high monthly insurance payment to Blue Cross, they sent me a letter on that birthday saying, surprise, did they ask me, do you work out? Do you eat well? Do you take care of yourself? No. Because of that birthday, my premium was going up by half. I was not a happy girl. And then the fact that the scale kept creeping up, kind of in tempo with my age. Man, and so I was beating myself up, and Karen Drucker said, we need to write you a song that reminds you of the truth. And it's so sweet to have a friend like that to help us. I hope you have one around. So I'll teach you as we get into it, I'll teach you the part I want you to sing with me. I am a gift, no matter what age, no matter how I look, no matter what I weigh. I am a gift, and I promise every day, when I look in the mirror, I'll say, I am a gift. That's what I'd like us to sing together. I've loved really well, and every year I've lived has a different tale to tell. I've made mistakes, have some regrets, but I promise I'll never forget. I am a gift. Sing it with me a couple of times. Just marching on without me. That's when I might need you to find me and ever so gently remind me. I'm God's precious child. I was put here on this earth, but only for a while. So I make this vow, and I say it with love. I am perfect and whole and enough, and I am a gift. Sing that with me. I'm perfect and whole and enough. I am perfect and whole and enough, and I am a gift, and I am a gift, and I am a gift, oh, I am a gift, no matter what the scale says this morning, I am a gift, no matter what birthday I just had. Precious child, and I am a gift. Oh, take a deep breath and remember the truth of that. Ah, that feels better. I feel better. Well, I would like to tell you the story of how I got here, and much of it is in this first little story in my book, so I thought I would just read it to you. Unanswered prayers. I feel very blessed indeed to be doing what I love to do, writing songs that matter to me, putting them out to the world to do good, singing them myself. I have discovered my gift, finally. It did take me a while. I always knew that I had been given the gift of a good singing voice. Well, okay then, said I in my early 20s. I'll be in Holiday Inn cover band singing Proud Mary to really drunk people until 2 a.m. That must be what I'm supposed to do with this gift. Well, it didn't take me too long to figure out that wasn't quite right. In my mid-20s, I moved to Memphis, and I began to use my voice in a different way. I punched a time card at 8:30 in the morning, went into the studio, and sang whatever was put in front of me. K-E-L-P, El Paso, W-S-I-X, Nashville. And endless jingles touting dog food and toilet paper, et cetera, until 3:30 in the afternoon when I punched out. It felt a little more right than the Holiday Inn gigs, but not much. I turned 30. Nashville was right down the road. Okay, I'll bet I'm supposed to be a country music star. I forgot to ask myself some pertinent questions like, Karen, do you really want to be a country music star? Do you want to be on a bus 285 days a year? Do you like singing songs that other people write for you? But I had no choice, for I had not been chosen to be a writer of songs. That gift was reserved for the few, the blessed, the truly talented. 4 years and 10 nationally charted country singles later, I was actually nominated for an Academy of Country Music Award. Best New Female Artist. Ah, at last. This was it. This was why I had been given a voice. I was supposed to sing other people's songs and get played on the radio and be cute and sexy and famous. Ah, boy. My eyes. And famous. Oh, I went to a psychic. She told me I was going to win. I went out to LA. There I was among the stars. This was it. Live network TV. I did my performance. I went backstage and I waited to hear my name called. And the winner is Nicolette Larson. Oh, no. This just can't be. This was my award. This was my path. And I have to put in a PS here and tell you, it's not just that I wanted to win that award. It's that I had gotten that far on my own record label, borrowing money from the bank, because nobody in Nashville could figure out who the heck I was and what was I doing there. I didn't quite fit the mold. And it was time. The banks were calling and they wanted their money back. And I knew that if I won this award, a major label would have to sign me, and then I would be the famous country music star I was supposed to be. Ah. This was my award. This was my path. What happened? What went wrong? I spiraled down into a deep, dark depression, which lasted for months and months. Thanks a lot, God, I cried. You gave me this voice, and I've tried and tried to figure out why, but nothing I do works out. I was hurting so deeply that I had to do something. I needed to express what I was feeling. I needed to write it down. I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. Then I began to read what I was writing, and I wondered, could it be? I crept over to the piano in the dark of one night, writings in hand, and I nervously, cautiously put my hands to the keyboard. The music came pouring out. The words turned into song lyrics. I sang my words about what was in my heart, set to my music. And the world came into focus, and I knew why I was here. I'm getting better every day at trusting that there really is a plan, and that even though I have no idea what it looks like, somebody clearly does. I knew all the answers, the way my life should go. And when I used to say my prayers, I would tell God so. It seemed he wasn't listening. I thought he didn't care. But looking back, it's plain to see he was always there. 'Cause I prayed for strength, and I got pain that made me strong. I prayed for courage and got fear to overcome. When I prayed for faith, my empty heart brought me to my knees. I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. I'm not saying that it's easy, or that it doesn't hurt, when nothing seems to go my way, nothing seems to work. But these days I'm getting better at going with the flow, accepting that sometimes the answer to a prayer is no. 'Cause I prayed for strength, and I got pain that made me strong. I prayed for courage and got fear to overcome. When I prayed for faith, my empty heart brought me to my knees. I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. Every time I've had a door slammed in my face, in time a better one was opened in its place. When I prayed for strength, I got pain that made me strong. I prayed for courage and got fear to overcome. When I prayed for faith, my empty heart brought me to my knees. I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. No, I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. Thank you. Okay, so there I am in Nashville. It's 1984. And I'm thinking, this is it. And I wish I could tell you that I learned my lesson and I stopped writing scripts for my life. But of course, that's not true. I just wrote a new script, and the new script was, okay, now that I'm a songwriter, I'm going to be a rich and famous songwriter overnight. Not the way it happened. here's what did happen. I was learning how to be a songwriter. I was writing and writing and writing with better people and writing all the time. And to fund this new passion of mine, I kept an apartment up in Chicago, and I was sharing some very important messages like this with the world. Taco salad, ooh, what a treat, made just for you in a bowl you can eat. Taco Bell, it's just made for you. Yeah. Which was feeding my bank account very nicely, but not my soul. So on the weekends, I come back to Nashville, and I'm going to Unity 1 week, and I'm going to Religious Science the next week, and I'm taking classes. And I'm taking classes that are teaching me these principles. Follow your bliss, and the money will come, yeah? Leap, and the net will appear. So in 1989, I leapt, and I announced to the whole jingle industry in Chicago that I was quitting, and I was moving back to Nashville full-time to be the songwriter that I was destined to be. I forgot one very important fact. How do you get a songwriter's attention in Nashville? A waiter! Yes, I forgot that everybody in Nashville is a songwriter. So I'm there, I'm writing, my songs are getting better. Nobody cared. I could not get arrested. My poor husband Dennis was playing his trombone as hard as he could, man. His lips were bleeding, and we were sinking. In 1992, all of the Taco Bell money was gone. All of the United Airlines and Peter Pan peanut butter. And I went to see a bankruptcy attorney on a Friday afternoon. I didn't know what else to do. Sunday morning, the alarm goes off, and I'm supposed to go to church. And I'm supposed to go hear some more of these principles. And I'm like, huh. So the alarm goes off on Sunday morning, and I turn it off, and I said, I'm not going. This stuff is stupid, and it obviously doesn't work. And I tried to go back to sleep, and I heard this little voice, and it said, go to church. And I said, no. I'm depressed. And the voice got louder. Go to church. I put pillows over my head. I did everything I could to not listen to that voice. Pretty soon, it's so loud, I have no choice. I went to church, and I was not happy to be there. Reverend Mitch, at the Religious Science Church, Reverend Mitch gave an amazing talk that day. Oh, Reverend Mitch, who, by the way, came to Nashville to be a songwriter, thank you. True. He gave this amazing talk about saying yes to life, and he pointed out how often we all say no, like subconsciously. What's the first word we learn as toddlers? No. So at the end of this fabulous lesson, he challenged us. He said, how many of you are willing to raise your hand and take a pledge that for the next 7 days, seven small days of your life, you will say yes to life as often as you can? And I was so into it, I raised my hand, and I took the pledge. Okay, so right after the service is over, this woman walks up to me. I hardly know her. She says, Karen, you're a songwriter, right? I'm like, yeah. She says, well, I have a friend who's coming to town. He's a new writer, just started, and he's actually an actor from L.A. So will you write with him? You should have heard the committee that lives in my mind shouting, no, I don't want to write with this guy. He's not even a real songwriter yet. And not only that, he's an actor from L.A. He's probably a big jerk. He's probably got this big ego. No, no, shouted my committee. I promise you, I never would have said yes. But I had just taken the pledge. Once again, I'm not happy to be in this whole movement. I'm thinking, dadgummit, why did I come to church? And I said, yes. I grit my teeth, and I figure I'll have this egotistical jerk over for a cup of coffee and send him home. I'm going over to the piano to tell you the rest of the story. Well, he wasn't an egotistical jerk. He was a very nice guy. His name is Burton Collins. And he came to my house that day with an idea for a song. He said, Karen, do you think this would make a good song? He said, I was so close to my grandmother. She practically raised me, and I was with her in the hospital last year while she was dying. She looked at me and saw that I was having a hard time, and she said, Burton, how can I help you say goodbye? He said, do you think that would make a good song? And I had major God bumps. 4 hours later, that song was written, and my life was changed forever. That song was recorded by Patti Loveless on the country charts, Al Jarreau and Laura Branigan. It was nominated for a Grammy. That's my Grammy nomination. I'm living in the house that song purchased. 10 years after the fact, it connected me with what's become another passion of mine, which is hospice. I mean, think about it. Who are the real-life angels on this planet who help us to say goodbye? The whole thing has been such a miraculous God thing that I have to say there are at least two morals to the story. I think one of them must be, as often as you can, say yes to life. But the other one, and I think perhaps Reverend Ellen might agree with me, could very well be, go to church. Through the back window of our 59 wagon, I watched my best friend Jamie slipping further away. I kept on waving till I couldn't see her. Then through my tears I asked again why we couldn't stay. Mama whispered softly, time will ease your pain. Life's about changing. Nothing ever stays the same. And she said, how can I help you to say goodbye? It's okay to hurt, and it's okay to cry. Come let me hold you, and I will try. How can I help you to say goodbye? I sat on our bed, he packed his suitcase. I held a picture of our wedding day. His hands were trembling, we both were crying. He kissed me gently, and then he quickly walked away. I called up Mama, she said, time will ease your. Life's about changing, nothing ever stays the same. And she said, how can I help you to say goodbye? It's okay to hurt, and it's okay to cry. Come let me hold you, and I will try. How can I help you? Say goodbye. Squeezed my hand. She said, I have to go now. My time here is over. And with her final words, she tried to help me understand. Mama whispered softly, time will ease your pain. Life's about changing. Nothing ever stays the same. And she said, how can I help you? To say goodbye. It's okay to hurt, and it's okay to cry. Come let me hold you, and I will try. to say goodbye. So, having all these principles in my life for so many years, there I was a while back getting ready to say my prayers, and somewhere in my prayers always is, help me get my songs out to more people. So the prayer I really wanted to pray that day was this. I really wanted to say, so God, if I could just be on Oprah. But that little committee up there, it cracked up. It was like, and I immediately got really embarrassed and shy and said, oh, God, that's pushy, Karen, gosh. So I backed way, way off, and the prayer I ended up praying was very sheepish and shy, and it was something like, so, God, maybe if I could, like, be on TV? Ah, I learned in that moment that we must be very specific with our prayers and affirmations, because it wasn't 2 months after that that I was invited to be on the Home Shopping Network. Oh, and trust me, Oprah, it ain't. But that's when I decided to write this song. Jason, you would you start this track? Thank you. I decided if we're going to be here on this planet, we might as well learn to think big. I was standing by this fisherman out there on the bridge. He bagged small one after small one, put them in his little fridge. Then he caught himself a whopper, and I watched him throw it back. I couldn't help but ask him, hey man, why'd you do that? Well, he pulled out this little skillet and said, see, it wouldn't fit. It was none of my business, but I couldn't help but wish he'd get a bigger pan. Get a bigger pan. When you got big dreams, for heaven's sake, don't throw those dreams back in the lake. It's not that you can't have it all, you've just been dreaming way too small. So get a bigger pan, get a bigger pan. Well, I've been thinking like that fisherman more times than I can count. Every time I felt unworthy and ran myself down, I'd get afraid and wouldn't play what I had there on the line, thinking that the big fish couldn't possibly be mine. But there's another fish to fry, and there's another day. Next time I hook the big one, I won't let him get away. I'll get a bigger pan, get a bigger pan. Because I got big dreams, for heaven's sake, won't throw those dreams back in the lake. It's not that I can't have it all, I've just been dreaming way too small. Get a bigger pan, get a bigger pan. Uh-huh. Okay, okay, I've got it figured out. For self-esteem as well as dreams and trout. Get a bigger pan, get a bigger pan. Cause we got big dreams, for heaven's sake, won't throw those dreams back in the lake. It's not that we can't have it all, we've just been dreaming way too small. We'll get a bigger pan, get a bigger pan. Get a bigger pan, get a bigger pan. Get a bigger pan, get a bigger pan. Thank you. So those of you who were at the concert last night, how many of you were at the concert last night? Oh, that's great. Wow. Well, many of you have heard this song, but as I mentioned last night, and what a blessing that concert was, by the way. Thank you so much, Kit. Woo. Thanks for inviting me. I have promised to sing this song wherever I go, forever, for the rest of my life, because this song pretty much saved my life when my mama was going through her last 8 or 9 years of life. So if you weren't there last night, I'll just tell you, my mama was an amazing, quintessential Jewish mother, strong, brilliant. She was a Leo. She belonged to Mensa. She was amazing until about the last 8 years of her life. She ended up legally blind from macular degeneration and living in a dementia care unit. And in spite of 25-plus years of these teachings, I went to some pretty dark places. I was railing at God at times, saying, boy, this sucks. This is so mean and so unfair. And then I thought, wait a minute. Either these teachings are true all the time, or they're not, ever. And I know they are. So I had to find a different way of looking at the situation that my mama was going through in order to continue my sanity. And I've never been more grateful for being a songwriter, because I believe I got my answer through the writing of this song. This is the woman who had all the answers, the one I would lean on for comfort, for strength. She's never forgotten one grandchild's birthday. Now she can't remember my name. And it makes me so angry. I shake my fist and cry out to the Heavenly One. Why would you play such a cold-hearted trick? I thought your job was to love. And the answer came down from above. She's gonna fly when her time here is through. First she'll have to let go of some things she can't use. 'Cause people and places, memories and faces are just way too heavy, it seems, to carry on angels' wings. This is the woman who saw things so clearly, the one who could pick out one crumb on the floor. She saw through a white lie, saw me through love's eyes. She hardly can see anymore. And it makes me so sad, and it just isn't fair. Why should so much be taken away? But when I cry out for all that she's lost, I silently hear someone say, she's gonna fly when her time here is through. First she'll have to let go of some things she can't use. 'Cause people and places, memories and faces are just way too heavy, it seems, to carry on. She'll see, and I know she'll remember to watch over me. She's gonna fly when her time here is through. First she'll have to let go of some things she can't use. 'Cause people and places, memories and faces are just way too heavy, it seems, to carry on angels' wings. love note. If you are going through a difficult time with one of your parents now, if you have become the parent and they the child, if they are not who they were and you find yourself confused, stressed, and angry, I understand. I know this is not easy. And it's all right. And it's perfect. Breathe. Cry. Go to a ridiculous movie. Take a walk. Find a support group. Consume moderate amounts of chocolate. And take good care of yourself. My heart is with you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Wow, thank you. I got one more song to share with you as the close to my message in music. This life ain't easy, is it? I mean, come on. Think about the things that you've been through and the losses that you've suffered, and yet here you are. You are survivors, and you came to church. And I just wonder, and I think my Unity people are better than most people about this, but when is the last time that you patted yourself on the back and said, damn, good job. Good job for being here and showing up in life. And again, I think it's so much easier to do in song. So I wrote us a song, and I'm going to teach you the chorus, and we're going to sing it together. And the title of it is, I Couldn't Have Done It Without Me. And it goes like this. Me, 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 me. I couldn't have done it without me. Me, me, me. That's who I'm talking about. So try it with me. Here we go. Here we go. Me, 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 me. I couldn't have done it without me, 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 me. That's who I'm talking about. Excellent. There's one more part. I'll bring you in like this. Two, three, four. I think I'm fabulous. Got that? Try it with me. Two, three, four. I think I'm fabulous. Excellent. If you will start this for us, Jason, I'll meet you on the chorus. I'm grateful to God, Mother Earth, Father Time, the universe, whoever it might be. But today I'm thanking the one I usually don't. I couldn't have done it without me. Here we go. Me, 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 me. I couldn't have done it without me. Me, me, me. That's who I'm talking about, yeah. That feels good, doesn't it? Love it. Can you crank it up a little bit, Jason? My talents might be God-given, and to that I say amen. But it's me who studied and worked and planned, and most times I forget to thank me, 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 me. I couldn't have done it without me. That's who I'm talking about. Two, I think I'm fabulous. I think I'm fabulous. This is usually understated. I also think that modesty is highly overrated. I wanna give myself equal credit now. Everybody else gets some. But just like snowflakes and grains of sand, there's uniquely only one. Me, 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 me. I couldn't have done it without me, 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 me. That's who I'm talking about, yeah. Me, 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 me. I couldn't have done it without me. Different. Watch this. That's who I'm talking. That's who I'm talking. That's who I'm talking about.